But at least we're here. Book of John, chapter 1. John, chapter 1. No, we will not finish it this morning. It's not time to finish it. We've only been in it a month and a half. We're just getting started. We will finish it very soon. But John chapter 1, I'd like to preach this morning on something that I'm pretty excited about, because I like to look at different people in Scripture, and Christ is our ultimate example, but see, He gave us other people in Scripture that we can look to as an example as well. We can look at some things in the lives of different believers and learn from them. Okay, people that followed after God, and we can look at the right decisions that they made and the lives that they lived for Christ, and we can learn from them. We're also given bad examples, people that we should not follow after. Okay, we should not follow after someone like Demas, who goes back to who leaves the work. Okay, for whatever reason, or stops being an encouragement to Paul. We should not be like Lot, who is vexed by the world and lives like the world. And we look at someone like David, and we have to kind of dissect David's witness, don't we? We see a lot of things in David that we should not follow after. We should say, hey, there's an example of something to stay away from. Then we see things in David's life that are a good example that we can follow after. So I like to look at different people in Scripture and see their example. I like to get an example from the things that they say. What they say tells us a lot about who they are and what matters to them. We can read the writings of Paul and find out what is central to Paul, what is of the most importance, and we can use that as an example. This morning I would like for us to look at the witness of John the Baptist. The witness of John the Baptist. You see, the book of John, as we've already said, is all about Jesus, the Son of God, His deity, the fact that God came in the flesh. And we see here at the very beginning that, well, let me back up and say this. We do realize, don't we, that the entire Bible centers around Jesus Christ. It centers around the coming Messiah, and then whenever He's here, the work that He did, and then His death, burial, and resurrection, and how man still has to put their faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible, from beginning to end, I've heard people say, well, you know what the Bible is? And I'm not saying that this isn't true. I just think it's a little bit corny. It's a little bit watered down. They say, you know what the Bible is? They say, the Bible is a love letter to you from God. Okay, I understand where you get that from. That's a little too Hallmarky for me. Hallmarky, I created that word this week. It sums everything up. That's a little too, I'm not saying that's wrong. This is God showing His love to us, right? Didn't He show us His love in His Word? He is love. He shows it. But you know what? I think the best, what is the Bible? It's a book all about Jesus Christ. It's all about redemption. It's all about, and love is a part of that. But it's all about my need for redemption, the plan for redemption, redemption's cost, which was great, and how redemption, now that that cost has been paid for, is free for you and I if we would just trust in Jesus Christ, the agent of that redemption. This book is all about Jesus Christ, from beginning to end. Everywhere that you look in the Bible, you find Jesus Christ. You might not always find Him by name, but you will see the plan of redemption, which is through Jesus Christ, being worked out all the way through Scripture. You see Jesus Christ in the Old Testament showing up in what's called a Christophany. That's a pre-Bethlehem appearance of Christ. Okay, I said this a few weeks ago about the children, the Hebrew children that were thrown into the furnace. That was Jesus in there with them. Jesus at times would appear to man briefly, Christ, the Son of God. Then one day He was born a man, still fully God, but also fully man, yet without sin. And so the witness of John the Baptist, what do we see right off the bat? First chapter, it's all about Jesus Christ. You know, in Sunday school, we're talking about Bible memorization. And this morning, we looked at the fact that we are to think on things that are true and honest and lovely and good report and all of those things. We looked at how that's what our minds are supposed to be on. And the way to think about those things is to think about God. Because all of those things are wrapped up in God. They're wrapped up in the person of Jesus Christ. And so if He is central, if we would just keep our minds on Him, if we keep our minds on Him, as we read this morning in Sunday school in Isaiah, that He would keep us in perfect peace. Okay, but you know, it goes beyond just who your mind is on. It goes beyond just, are you thinking about Him? We see here from John the Baptist, it's more than just thinking about Jesus Christ. It's living for Him. And it's doing for Him. And it's carrying out what He's told us to carry out. So let's look at John chapter 1 and find verse 15. And we're going to read a pretty long section of portion of Scripture here, and then we'll go back and kind of break it down, move around a little bit. But John chapter 1 and verse 15 says this, John bare witness of Him, talking about Jesus Christ, and cried, saying, this was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. And of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. And this is the record of John. You see, I like that word, the record of John. That's basically saying this is his story. This is his testimony. This is what we know about John and what John said. This is John's report is what we're reading here. Let me ask you this morning, what's your record? What is your report? What would be said of you if someone asked, what's central in your life? If I went to somebody else and asked them, hey, do you know so-and-so? Yes. What would you say is the most important thing in their life? Would their report be Jesus Christ? And maybe they don't, maybe they don't know a thing about God. They don't know a thing about the Bible. Maybe they would say, hey, I don't know what they call it, but I know they're always talking about that Bible and church. And he's always saying something about something called the gospel. And I don't really understand all that, but whatever it is, that's what they're all about. What is your record? What is your report? You know, I could go down to the courthouse. Let me back up. I couldn't do it because I don't know where to start. If I took Amy, she would know because she used to do that. That she used to be an abstractor for a title company. She would know where to start. I wouldn't. I think you go into the clerk's office because that's where she spent a lot of her time. I think that's where those books are. But I could go in there and I could look up deeds and find out when you bought your house and all of these, that's a record that's been recorded. Those are facts about you that are on record. I would hope that I would not be able to go down to the courthouse or the police station and find a police record on you. I would hope that I wouldn't, but if I did, I would hope that that was in the past and under the blood. I would hope that I wouldn't find from last week that you got picked up for shoplifting. If I did and they asked why I was looking, I would deny being your pastor. But anyhow, I would hope that we wouldn't find that. What is your record? What is on record about you? Hey, here's the record of John the Baptist. You see, look, this is who he was. This is what he said. This is what's important about him. We have here recorded in Scripture what John the Baptist said, what he preached, what was central to him. And this is the record of John in verse 19. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? So the Bible's telling us this is what John said when they came and asked him who he was. And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? Can I stop here and say one more thing? I'm really having a hard time getting through this and then going back and preaching. So we might have five little mini sermons before we get to the main one. Can I say this? Why are they coming and asking him? Why are they coming and asking John the Baptist, hey, the boss, the big guys, the big wigs, they sent us to find out who you are. You know why? He's creating a stir. You know why? He's troubling the waters. He's roughing things up. You see, if he wasn't a threat to them, if he wasn't preaching Jesus Christ, they wouldn't be concerned with who he was. But here's this man who's out and he's preaching Jesus Christ and he's pointing people to Christ and he's baptizing them and he's showing them the way to Jesus Christ. And so the Pharisees are sending out these guys saying, hey, go see, this looks bad. Go see what that's all about. Go see what that's all about. Listen, you want to march in a parade down 3rd Street and hold up a banner that says, my son's a homosexual and I'm so proud. You want to walk down, or you want to walk down 3rd Street with a banner that says, women's rights, keep your laws off my body. Which, by the way, I've seen some pictures and videos from some of those types of parades, and there's nothing but filth on display. And I'm not just talking about the homosexuals. I'm talking about the women's rights and the feminism and everything. I'm talking filth. Filth. Okay? And nobody would say a word to you, would they? You could have filthy signs, you could have filthy pictures, and you know, if somebody came down and said, came down and called the sheriff or went down to the courthouse and said, why are they, oh, they've got a right. That's public, they've got a right, they got their permit. Hey, go down to the courthouse lawn and stand up on one of those brick walls with this Bible and proclaim, don't even preach against homosexuality or abortion or booze or any of that stuff. Just preach Jesus Christ. Just preach the gospel and see if you don't cause a stir. See how long it takes before the deputy shows up and says, you're going to have to stop that. People are complaining. You're disturbing the peace. No, I'm preaching the Prince of Peace is what I'm doing. I'm trying to tell lost people how to be saved and have peace. I have no signs. I am not screaming. I have no filthy pictures or filthy sayings. I'm preaching the gospel. But you know what? To them, you're causing a stir. You know what John the Baptist was doing? He was causing a stir. And so to bring that up to where we are now, the sheriff and the mayor and the governor, get down there and find out what this guy's doing. Get down there and see what's going on. He's causing a stir. People are looking. People are asking questions. He said in verse 23, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, nor that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not, which was their problem. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bare record that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? We look here at the witness of John the Baptist, and there are a few things that I want to point out this morning that you and I need to learn from John to have in our own lives when it comes to our attitude about Jesus Christ. First of all, humility. Humility. Look at verse 15. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And then look at verse 27. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. First of all, we see the humility of John the Baptist. He says, look, I'm not even worthy to get down and unlatch his shoe. Shoes are dirty, aren't they? You cannot, if as soon as you take them out of the box, you just walk through the living room and they're dirty. You go outside for a little while, they're dirty. Hey, right now when the snow's melting and it doesn't just look gross around town this time of year. Everything just that dirt and slush and gross. And we remember when that snow first fell and it was so beautiful, and now it's just nasty, and all you want is one hot day and one rainy day to wash it all away, don't you? Get rid of it. Hey, it doesn't take long for your shoes to get dirty. Shoes are dirty. Shoes are absolutely dirty. You gotta work to keep them clean, don't you? Okay, he didn't say whose jacket I'm not worthy to remove, or any whose gloves. He said, I'm not worthy to get down. What's the lowest part of a man? Our feet, that's at the bottom. I'm not worthy to get down to where his feet are and just unlatch his shoe. Humility is where we begin. The witness of John the Baptist tells us to begin humble. You can't get saved without beginning with humility. Because unless you've humbled yourself, you won't admit that you need to be saved. You won't admit that you're a sinner. You won't admit that there's only one way to be saved. Humility is that first step. It takes humility to admit, I am wrong, he is right, I'm on my way to hell, I need him to save me from hell. Then after you get saved, service for Jesus Christ begins once again with humility. With humility. Yesterday we went. Yesterday we went to the store to get a few things, and the girl that was ringing us up had to call for some help to void out what we had just bought, and. She was a young girl, and she called another young girl who I guess was kind of like a manager to come and help her. And as soon as she got there, not that this cashier was, you know, really friendly and taking care of us, you know, to start with, but when her friend got there, she turned her back on us. And you know, when I was a teenager and working in different places, if we'd have turned our back on a customer. Ooh, buddy. So she turns her back, and they just go right into this conversation. And they're talking, well, were you at that meeting? And then they're griping. griping about so-and-so. Now, I'm assuming it's a boss or a manager or something like that. You know, that's everywhere. You hear people griping about the people that they work for and talking bad about the people that they work for, and they know better, and they could do it better than the boss or whatever. Then why aren't you the boss? Why is he signing the checks? Why is he in charge and you're not? There's no humility anywhere. There's nobody, hardly anybody comes to work anymore and says, "Tell me what to do, boss, and I'll do it. You're in charge. Okay, whatever you say, whether I agree or not, I'm going to do it." There's no humility anymore. Listen, you have to be humble to get saved. You have to be humble to serve. It works both ways. Not only are we not on par with Jesus, we don't even come close. We don't even come close. The greatest men used by God are always the most humble. The greatest men used by God are always the most humble. One of the greatest Christians that ever lived was the Apostle Paul. And what happened to him? God humbled him. God struck him blind, humbled that man. And he remained humble, and God was able to use him. You'll find that the greatest men used by God are always the most humble, and you'll find the least of all are the ones with the most pride. The ones that God's not able to use. The ones that you don't see any growth or very little growth, or there's just always a problem, are the ones with the most pride. They won't humble themselves. Let's look at a couple other verses. We'll come back to John in just a moment. But go to Psalm 34 and verse 18. Psalm 34 and verse 18, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." I don't know why I'm not getting anywhere. It just seems like I'm not growing, and I'm not growing. Hey, have you taken a look to see if there's some pride? Maybe you're, you know, he said to Paul, that he said, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Paul was trying to fight back against the Word of God. Maybe nothing's happening in your life. Maybe you're not growing any closer. Maybe your fellowship isn't getting any sweeter with God because you won't humble yourself. Maybe the Word's telling you something and you're saying, next chapter, that's probably not for me, but I know who that's for. And when I get to church, I'm going to tell them. Go in the bathroom, look in the mirror, and tell that person. Okay, it's for me. It's for you. Maybe the reason that growth isn't there, maybe the reason that fellowship isn't sweet with Christ like it used to be, is because we're not of a broken heart anymore. Look what it says. A broken heart, and save as such as be of a contrite spirit. What about humility? What about humility? Maybe things aren't the way that they should be with you and Christ. Hey, maybe things aren't the way they should be with you and other Christians because pride. And you've started thinking more of yourself than what you ought be thinking. John the Baptist said, hey, I can't even get down and unlatch his shoe. I can't even get down and unlatch his shoe. Humility. Look over at chapter 3 at what John said. We should be always growing in humility. John chapter 3. Why is it that nobody has verses like this for what they call their life verse? You ever heard somebody say, oh, that's my life verse, or that's my, you know, on my cards, I usually put Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but I don't say, oh, that's my life verse. I like that verse. But here's some people say, oh, this is my life verse. This is my, hey, why isn't John chapter 3, verse 30, anybody's life verse?
He must increase, but I must decrease.
Why did anybody ever pick anything like that? Like my friend said one time, you'll never see that cross-stitched on a pillow. He must increase, but I must decrease. That humility never stops. You know why? Because the longer you're saved, the more you're in the Word, the closer you draw to Him in fellowship, the more you realize how unworthy we are. And so that humility grows and grows and grows. The more I find out about Him, the more I realize how unworthy I am of Him, and the more I want to exalt Him, and the less I want to be noticed. He must increase. I must decrease. The witness of John the Baptist tells us we need to be humble. Now look at verses 19 through, back in John 1, 19 through 23. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he saith, "I am not." "Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." Okay, so first of all, he humbled himself. Now, the second aspect that we see in the witness of John comes from the humility, okay? It comes from that. Now we see what? He's seeking no vainglory. He's humbled himself, and he does, and now he doesn't want anybody thinking anything of him that isn't right. He doesn't want anybody patting him on the back. He says, "Look, here's who I am, okay? Just like Isaiah said, one crying in the wilderness, that's me. I'm not the one that you're looking for. I'm just trying to tell you about the one that you're looking for." Here, John may have had occasion to boast and brag. You realize that in the flesh, he was a cousin to Jesus. Okay, his mother and Mary were cousins. So in the flesh, there was a relation there. There was also James, who penned the book of James, was the half-brother of Jesus Christ, and he never mentions that either. James never mentions it. And John doesn't say, "Oh, well, you know, we're kin. We're kin. Hey, I'm the kin of the Son of God." He didn't say that. Now, he could have for two reasons. Physically, and John was saved, and he was a child of God himself. But you notice he didn't go on and make a big deal out of being the fulfillment of that prophecy. No, he didn't seek any vainglory. He could have made a big deal about how God was using him. "Hey, I'm the one of the voice." No, he just said, "This is who I am." And he doesn't go on about it, does he? He doesn't go on. He just leaves it alone. All he did was tell them who he was and who he wasn't. He said, "No, I'm not all those people that you think. This is who I am. Okay? I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." He didn't stop with, "I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness." He went on to say, "Make straight." Okay? He didn't seek any vain glory. Are we not bombarded with that everywhere that we look? Are we not bombarded with people just seeking their own glory? I'll say more about that here in just a moment. Let's look at the next thing that he did. Let's go back to 15, because there's something else I want to look at in verse 15. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." How could he say that Christ was before him? John was pretty close to being born when Mary came and told Elizabeth that she was expecting Jesus. So who was physically born first? John the Baptist.
But he's not talking about flesh. He's talking about what we looked at in the very beginning of the chapter. He's eternal. He's always been. And you know the great thing about Jesus Christ being eternal, that he's always been, is he always will be. Isn't that wonderful? He always will be. But look, it says here that he bare witness. If you were called into a courtroom as a witness and they put you up there on the stand, you would be a witness and you would tell your story. You would tell what you saw. You would tell what you heard. You would tell what happened. And what do they want? They want the truth. John bare witness and told people about Jesus Christ. We need to be humble. We need to stop seeking our own vainglory, our own glory. And we need to be pointing other people to Jesus Christ. That's more important than pointing them to Faith Baptist Church. You realize that when we invite people to church, our concern is, if we leave them with a tract so that they'll know how to be saved. We tell them how to be saved. In inviting them to church, if they're not saved, that's what we want them to come for, so they'll hear the gospel again. So we can give them the gospel again. Point them to Jesus Christ. We're not trying to build Faith Baptist Church. We're not trying to build a great place here. Somebody asked me here recently when they found out I was a pastor, and they were looking for a church, and they were kind of telling me a little bit of their background and where they were from. And yeah, I would like for them to come here and hear the word and get, but I'm not too confident when they told me the church that they were from and what was going on in there. I'm not too confident we'll see them. This isn't what they're looking for. Now, we could make this what people are looking for. We could point people to Faith Baptist Church. We could build this thing up so big that we'd have to sell this building and buy a new one or build a new one. Or we can stay loyal to the Scripture and to Jesus Christ and have a New Testament church here. And that's what we're going to do. That's what's always been done here. That's what we're going to continue to do. But see, we're not about pointing people to Faith Baptist Church. We're not about pointing people to Pastor Utley. We're not about pointing people to Brother Randy or to Brother Dwayne. We're about pointing people to Jesus Christ. Oh, you guys think you have all the answers? No, but we can tell you who does. Oh, you think you're the only church? No, there's a bunch of churches around. I just know we believe this. Oh, you think you're right and everybody else is wrong? We think we're right because we agree with this, and anybody who disagrees is wrong. This is what it's all about right here. We point people to Jesus Christ. Now look at the next thing. It says, and cried. Not boo-hoo. Not get my handkerchief. Not box of Kleenexes. Cried. Lifted up his voice. Okay, here's the, I don't have any up here, but they're all back there. Let's say this is a gospel tract, okay? John the Baptist wasn't. Take it. Okay, have a good day. Or, by the way, never mind. John the Baptist wasn't sitting at the lunch table down in the break room and everybody's spouting off all this and he's sitting there thinking, boy, what they're saying isn't right. They're talking about the Bible and it's not even close to being right. I should tell them what the Bible really says, but then they might not let me sit with them anymore. John the Baptist didn't hand somebody a gospel tract and say, here, I'd like for you to read this, but if I'm not trying to offend you, if it bothers you, then I'd like for you to come to church, but if you don't want to come, I understand. If you don't want to come to church, I understand. No, what does it say? It says he
cried. He's out in the open. He's out in public. People are walking by and he's telling people, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." Nothing wrong with those gospel tracts. But if those gospel tracts seal our lips to where we're not telling people how to be saved and we're just relying on those, then we need to put those down and get our lips opened up again. If we're letting that do all the work, they're good, they're a tool. But if we're letting those do all of the work, then it's time to put that tool down and get this tool working again. And he cried, telling me, you know what? You'll be loud about something that matters to you. Okay, look, pastor isn't saying go to work tomorrow and start screaming at everybody. We're talking about being a bold witness and not a timid one. We're talking about being an Abraham and not a Lot. We're talking about not being ashamed of the gospel. I gave you a track. If that makes you mad, fine. I still want you to be saved. You'll have people take a track and, "Well, thank you. I appreciate that." You'll have people take it and roll their eyes. And then once in a while, you'll get somebody like Alex got when we first came over here. The very first weekend that we ever came here to preach in 2012, Pastor Gibson and Miss Linda met us over at the hotel and then took us to lunch at Burger King. And Alex gave this lady behind this cashier this track. And I want to tell you, she made our day. And we have not stopped talking about this lady. She was a black lady, short, kind of round, probably late, I don't know, she was probably in her 50s. And we order our food, and Alex takes this track, and he says, "Here, would you read this when you get time?" And she says, "Oh, honey, you know, you just bless me all over giving me that. You know I need Jesus all in me to help me." And she's like preaching behind this cash register. She's like, she holds it to her heart. "You know I just need Jesus all in me, honey. This is just, you made my day." And she made our day. They don't all act that way. Sometimes it's, "No, I don't need that. I don't need that. Hello." And sometimes, "Well, thank you." But you know what? I want to tell you how to be saved. This tells you the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sometimes you don't have time to say all that, but you know what? Don't let that do all the work for you. But in whatever way that you witness, be a bold witness. John the Baptist was. He cried aloud. He told people. He didn't let his bumper sticker do his witnessing for him. He didn't let the little cross figurine on his desk do the work for him. He didn't let his "I am blessed" t-shirt do the work for him. You say he didn't have those things. No, he had something better. He had something better. He had a voice that he wasn't afraid to use. And he cried aloud. He was a bold witness for Jesus Christ. You'll be vocal about the things that you care about. I think we're getting close to Super Bowl. It's usually about this January, February something. I think we're getting close. And I will not make the Super Bowl comment that I made last year. Last year, I was trying to point out how insignificant it was, and I said, "Now who even knows who won it in whatever year?" And a bunch of people knew it. Because I picked like the one year that some team, it was like a big, huge deal. Mike Lee even told me, he said, "If you'd have picked any other year, nobody would have said anything." He said, "You picked the one year." I don't even remember what year it was. He said, "See?" Listen to Mike crying aloud, being a witness. 1985, you said the Bears won it that year, didn't you? And it was like a big thing. I was 5, 6 years old. It's a big thing. I had to pick that one. That's what he told me. He said, "You had to pick that one year." He said, "Everybody knows who won it in 85. Well, I didn't. Everybody wanted to hear. Okay, look, we're at that time of year. That game's going to be played in a few weeks. People in the stands, people at home, what are they going to be doing? They're going to be crying aloud. when the game's over, the losing team, they're going to be crying. People are going to be yelling. They're going to be hollering. They're going to be getting drunk. Going to be taking their clothes off. They're going to be writing on their bodies. It's going to be snowing. They're going to paint their hair. They're going to yell. They're going to holler. They're going to scream. You know why? It's important to them. Because it means something to them. It's what they care about. When was the last time you cried aloud for Jesus Christ and you were just a bold witness and told somebody, hey, this is what the Bible says, thus saith the Lord. Jesus said, no man cometh unto the Father but by Him. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Or has your witness become, well, you know, yeah, my faith is really important to me. And that's about all they know. John the Baptist cried aloud. He bare witness. He cried aloud. He was a bold witness. Listen, if you're a witness, that's great. But let's make sure we haven't become a timid witness and make sure that we're a bold witness. Now look, it's not about the volume that you can put behind your voice. Some people can work as hard as they can and never get any higher than that because some people have such quiet, timid voices. And I think the reason there are quiet, timid people is because God gave people like me extra, and there wasn't enough to go around. And when He got to them, He used it all up on me. Okay, look. We're talking about the boldness of the witness. Not being timid, but being bold in our witness. I will finish this point and then be done for this morning. We'll finish this sermon here tonight. He pointed others to Christ. It says here in verse 15, John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, this was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. In verse 29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Hey, just opened up his mouth and told him. He pointed people to Jesus Christ. He cared not what they thought. Didn't matter. What if they get offended? What if they get upset? What if they don't talk to me anymore? Hey, you know what mattered to John? What if they go to hell? What if they die in their sins? What if they don't get saved? What if they spend eternity in hell? Who cares if they don't talk to me ever again? Who cares if they give me a dirty look? Who cares if they cuss me? Who cares? Who am I? Nothing. What do you care more about? How they treat you or where they spend eternity? John said, behold. And he said, let me tell you about Jesus Christ. Look, do you think that there were people, do you think people have only started getting hostile toward the gospel in your lifetime? Hey, they nailed our Savior to the cross. The world has always been hostile to the gospel. Okay, it hasn't. It's always been there. You just see it manifest in different ways, don't you? Well, but what if they nail you to a cross? Well, but what if they throw you in prison like they did Paul? That's not even happening to any of us. And John the Baptist was crying aloud, and Paul was crying aloud, and Peter was crying aloud and standing up and preaching and getting thrown in prison. And Paul said he was shipwrecked and he was beaten with rods. And he said he bore in his body the marks of Jesus Christ. They whipped Jesus 39 times. They did that to Paul more than once. Well, what if they won't talk to me tomorrow at work? Well, you're probably better off. Hey, that guy that's always telling you dirty jokes and using curse words and everything, that's a pretty good way to shut him up. Invite him to church. Maybe he'll quit. If he doesn't get saved, at least he'll quit cussing at you. Well, if he does it more, then witness to him again. He needs to be saved. What are we concerned with? John wasn't concerned with what they were going to think of him. John was concerned with who do they say Jesus Christ is and where are they going to spend eternity. And church, if we would humble ourselves
if we quit seeking our own glory, quit worrying about what people think about us, and start worrying about people going to hell, we could be a bold witness. We could open our mouths like John the Baptist. But what matters is, what do we care more about? In verse 17, it says, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Look, right back to Jesus Christ, pointing people to Jesus Christ. And then in verses 23 through 28 that we've already read, again. Look at 26. "But there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose." Christ. Jesus Christ. All back to Jesus Christ. Why didn't he talk about himself? Because he isn't anything. Jesus Christ is everything. It's all about Jesus Christ, is it not? It's all about Christ. It all revolves around Christ. He was humble. You and I need to learn from that. He didn't seek any glory for himself. You and I need to learn from that. And he pointed people to Jesus Christ in a bold witness, not caring what other people thought. And you and I definitely need to learn from that. The Bible tells us, and I can testify in agreement to the Word of God, that when you are a witness for Him, you will lose friends. You will have people upset with you. You will have family even that's upset with you. The Bible says it. Many of us have seen it in our lives because the Bible is true. But let me close with this as far as being a bold witness. Whoever it is that needs to be witnessed to, family member, neighbor, co-worker, high school fishing buddy, whoever it is, the minute we stop to think, I wonder what they're going to say, I wonder what they're going to think, I wonder how they're going to act, why are they going to treat me, we need to step back and say, wait a minute, who died for my sins? Who went to the cross for my sins? Because that family member sure didn't. And that neighbor sure didn't. You know, if Christians would get as upset, if Christians would get as riled up when someone blasphemes our God as they do when you say something bad about their wife, children, or ball team, then we wouldn't have a problem being a bold witness. We would be able to reprove and rebuke and exhort and point out what the Bible says. Not talking about hatefulness, that's what they'll call it. It doesn't matter what they call it. We're talking about being a bold, strong witness for Jesus Christ. We begin with humility, and then we don't seek any glory for ourselves, and we point people to Jesus Christ. Tonight we'll look at the rest of the witness of John. How could there be any more than that? How could there be any more? Well, there's just a little bit, and we're going to look at it tonight and kind of expound on a few things that we've already looked at so far. But as we take this time to sing this song of invitation, I ask you to, if the Holy Spirit's already been searching your heart and pointing out areas where maybe your witness has gotten timid, let's start at the beginning. Maybe you've lost some of that humility. Maybe you've been trying to seek your own glory and wanting people to think a lot of you. Maybe that witness has become timid. Hey, if you're bothered by that this morning, that's the Holy Spirit convicting you and dealing with you in that area. Now get it right with God. And walk out of this place determined to do something about it. That's what this time is for. Maybe he has to work on you all day on it. Get things taken care of. So I'm going to ask everyone to come. Our instrumentalist and our song leader. And I'm going to pray, and then we'll have that song of invitation. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. And Lord, I just pray that you would convict every one of us. Lord, I know you're already convicting me. You're already showing me those things that need to be dealt with. And I pray that you would do that in all of our hearts, that you would show us right here is where we've not been humble. Right here is where we've been seeking vainglory. Right here is where we haven't been a bold witness. Lord, just deal with us and help us to get it right and do something about it today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.